Chapter 8, School and Education. Take that mirror off your desk. When foreign teachers begin teaching at universities in Japan, they are often surprised at how different the classes are from classes in their home country. Students don't participate or even pay attention. They don't answer questions. They don't prepare. They talk with their friends while the teacher is speaking. They send messages to their friends on their phones. The list goes on. Are Japanese universities so terrible? My students sometimes ask me about the differences between universities in Japan and in the United States. What do I tell them? I tell them that they're asking the wrong question. Just as with a gesture, handshake or bow, or expression, yoroshiku onegai shimasu, it's not very helpful to look at the cultural item all by itself. One also needs to look at its cultural context. One can't understand universities in Japan if one doesn't look at its high schools. And the same is also true of universities in the United States. Furthermore, one also needs to look at the societies for which each educational system is preparing its students. One of the main purposes of education is to help children to become successful, productive, fulfilled members of society. Of course, that will mean very different things depending on the society in which that person will live as an adult. We have already learned about the different values in Japanese and Western cultures in terms of harmony, hierarchy, independence, formality, etc. It's no surprise that schools preparing students for lives in these two very different cultures will need to teach those students very different things in very different ways. From preschool through junior high school, Japanese students are taught the importance of working together in teams. Students are rarely separated by ability levels, and individual differences in performance are often downplayed. In sharp contrast, in the United States, children are taught from a very early age the importance of independence, self-reliance, and individual responsibility. Additionally, there is a good deal of emphasis placed on individual achievement. Exam hell. Another big difference in the educational system is exemplified by, or created by, the Japanese university entrance examination system. Because the entrance examinations play such a large role in determining a person's future, schools naturally focus instruction on performance on these exams. Because the emphasis of the exams is on fact rather than analysis or creative thinking, one finds a similar emphasis on facts in junior and senior high school instruction. Without these kinds of exams in the United States, there is less emphasis on learning facts and more emphasis on critical thinking and expressive ability. Is it any surprise, then, that Japanese high school graduates excel in subjects such as math and geography, while their United States counterparts tend to be much better thinkers and communicators? The Japanese university entrance examinations affect the education system in yet another way. Because the exams are so important, Japanese high school study is quite a serious matter, and until recently was usually supplemented by evening and Saturday classes at cram schools or juku. Once a student gets into the best university he can, however, things change quite a bit. The 4 years of university life offer the young adult the freest, most carefree years of his life. This is the time for making friends and establishing relationships, socializing, and, well, having fun. In the United States, however, high school, not university, is the time for clubs, socializing, and self-realization. In the United States, universities are relatively easy to get into, but difficult to succeed in. At my university, less than 60% of the beginning freshmen were able to eventually successfully complete their bachelor's degrees. For United States students, their university years are 4 years of very hard work. Additionally, the two societies and their educational systems differ in their thinking about the responsibilities of the student and the teacher, especially at the university level. The role of an American university professor is often more like that of a facilitator or even a colleague. It is the student who is expected to read, research, and prepare on his own, and to show up to class ready to discuss, contribute, question, challenge, and debate. A Japanese student sits down in class and waits to be taught, or, as often happens, lectured to. In Japan, if a student fails, the blame falls on the teacher. In the United States, the responsibility falls on the student. Still, I have seen several classes in which a Japanese professor stood at the front of the class, reading from a textbook or his notes, while the students in class slept peacefully. My students are always surprised when I tell them such a professor would lose his job for this kind of teaching. What do I think? Because of the importance of the university entrance exams in Japan, there is an emphasis on the importance of getting the right answer. To any question or problem, there can be only one correct answer, the answer considered correct by the graders of the entrance exams. You'll notice I used quotes when I wrote about the right answer. I do that because, as a product of the United States educational system myself, I separate questions that have one answer: what is the capital of England? What is the square root of 100? And questions that have several or no answers: what caused World War I? How many colors are there in the rainbow? Of course, because Japanese students have been taught that there is only one answer to a question, and that individual achievement isn't necessarily a good thing, deru kugi wa utareru, they are, of course, reluctant to answer questions. This is especially true when it's a foreign teacher asking them, "Well, what do you think about that?" In the United States, one is expected to have an opinion and be able to give some explanation or reason why one thinks that way. Is it any wonder that new foreign teachers are surprised by the differences in their classes in Japan from those they remember from their university days? The expectations of society also affect the educational systems greatly. Japanese companies hire university graduates with the expectation that the company will train them. It almost seems as if the companies would prefer the universities not teach their students too much, lest the company have to unteach bad habits and attitudes. United States companies, on the other hand, expect their new employees to report trained, educated, and ready for work. As a result, an American student's major is much more likely to be related to his career plans than is a Japanese student's. Companies in the United States also look hard at a student's GPA, grade point average, a numerical average of his university course grades. Can you see why American university students need to think differently about their university education? Studying and learning. Another example of words and concepts that don't translate well are the ideas associated with the English words study and learn, and the Japanese words benkyō and narau. There are many situations where one would use the Japanese word benkyō, but using the English word study would seem strange. It was my habit at a school where I taught years ago to sit outside with a news or high-tech magazine after lunch. One of my students commented on how I was always studying. I had no idea what he meant. In English, the idea of studying and learning are quite separate from each other. For example, if the textbook you are using is of too high a level, you might study very hard for a long time, but might not learn very much. Similarly, a young child playing with matches for the first time will probably soon learn a very important lesson without any study at all. Fire is hot. Studying is the conscious, deliberate trying to learn something. Learning is the result, the new knowledge one has gained, whether or not it came as a result of studying. I really love learning, but studying, well, not so much. Comprehension questions. 1. Why is comparing Japanese and American universities so complicated? 2. What effect does the Japanese university entrance examination have on secondary school education? 3. What are some of the big differences between Japanese and American universities? 4. What is the difference in meaning between study and benkyō? 5. What have you learned without studying?